Well, thank you so much. But I am thankful that you are here tonight. And just let me say, I am so blessed. I've been receiving emails, phone calls, people saying, you know, I shared my story, and you know, this is what happened, and God just opened up doors, and you know, that's such a blessing to know that God is equipping us to be effective witnesses, and that people are actually going out and trusting the Lord to give them the courage and the strength to do that, and the words to say. So, thank you for sharing that with me. That's such a great encouragement to me. Our God is honored by your efforts. Your assignment this past week was to share your story with two people. Now, what I want to do as we start tonight, I want to get a couple of folks. Now, I don't want you to share your story, but I want you to share how you got into it and, you know, how it went. You know, as you think about that, and you know, we're called to be obedient to share. If you think about the parable that Jesus told about sowing seeds, you know, he said some fell on hard ground, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, some on thorny ground. You know, it shot up quickly, but then because it didn't have a root, when the sun came out, it dried. And then some fell on good soil. Did you notice that Jesus, he didn't say, well, those stupid people threw those seeds on that hard ground, and they knew there's no way that seed was going to come up. He didn't say that, did he? He commended you and me for spreading the seeds. And that's all he calls us to do. He says, you go out and you spread, and you let me take care of. You plant those seeds, you spread those seeds, and let me take care of the rest. And so that's all he calls us to do, to be obedient in spreading those seeds, and then trust him for the results. Okay, tonight we'll begin on page 2, where you'll see honing or sharpening your personal story. Now, these opportunities are usually going to come for you, whether you go to the gym, whether you go to school, whether you go to work. They're going to come up in all different Walmart, you know, wherever you're going to go. You're going to have a short time to tell your story. You've got just, 4 or 5 minutes to share your story. You don't have, you know, like when we do visitation, you know, when we go and they invite us in, you know, you might have 30 minutes to share. But in these situations where you're at school, work, wherever, you just got a short period of time in order to share your story. So that's why we need to hone our testimony, to sharpen our testimony. So, and the better we have in our mind our story, the easier it's going to be to share it in a short period of time. Does that make sense? In other words, we're familiar with it. We know, you know, we've got to cut out some of the stuff. All of it's important to us, right? It's our story. But because we're not going to have 25 to 30 minutes, we've got to hone it down. We've got to get it where we can present it in 4 to 5 minutes, because we're just going to have a short time to do it. So it's on page 2, notice my life before I met Jesus. You'll see that you don't have a full page here now. You've got 5 lines, I think. So, you know, 5 basic points, whatever, but you've got to get it down to where you can include it. You can get it all on those 5 lines. You know, begin with a statement about where you were born and grew up. We talked about that. Share what kind of home you were raised in. You know, that's important. About the things that you were feeling during that time. Okay. And, you know, if you struggle with alcohol, drugs, those kind of things, you can mention those things, but don't let that be your focus. You know, so those are part of who you were before you came to know the Lord, but focus more on your emotions, your feelings, what you were experiencing during that time as you share with people. Now, I want you to spend the next couple of minutes working on my life before I met Christ. Now, when you finish that part, don't move on to the next one. Just be patient, but you got about 2 minutes to sharpen that, my life before I met Christ. All right, stop right where you are, even if you haven't finished. All right, look at number 2, how I came to accept Jesus into my life. Now, remember, everyone's story about how they came to accept Christ is different, okay? We can all share our story. We're going to see there's going to be difference in each of our stories. For me, and, you know, I shared my story before Christ with you a couple of weeks ago, but how I met Christ, you know, after I tore my shoulder and my dreams of playing professional baseball were vanished, then I quit school. I had a full scholarship. I threw that scholarship away, quit school, and went to work. I was angry. I was disappointed. I was just overwhelmed with the situation, not knowing. But The good thing, one good thing that happened to me during that time is that I married my high school sweetheart, the love of my life. And we were 20 years old. We were way too young. We had difficulties. My goodness gracious, it was a challenge. But the fact that I wasn't a Christian, and I also, even though I'm not proud of it, I started drinking a little bit then. I was just so devastated and just feeling lost inside and not knowing, you know, what the future held. So I started doing some of that, and that sure didn't make it any better on our marriage. So we would go to church occasionally just to satisfy my mom and dad. Mom and dad were active in a church, and they were just staying on my back. Billy, you and Janet need to be in church. You've been raised better than this. You know better than this. And so we would go just occasionally just to get them off our back. April the 2nd, 1978, we went to the church where mom and dad were members, and we sat down there, and I can't tell you the text that the pastor used. I don't remember a whole lot of what he said, but I do remember that the Holy Spirit of God was dealing with my heart. And I just came under such strong conviction. And at the end of that message, he asked the question. I've asked it before myself in preaching a message. He asked the question. He said, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you would spend eternity? And I knew that very second, that if I were to die, and in my mind, that was a real possibility. But if I were to die, I knew I would split, bust hell wide open because I was as lost as I could be. So when he gave that invitation, I went down that aisle. I fell on my knees at that altar, and I poured out my heart to God. I realized that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I realized that he was buried, but he didn't stay dead. And on the third day, he came to life again, and that he paid for my sins on the cross. I repented of my sins, accepted Jesus Christ, and I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Was I perfect? No. But I tell you what, our marriage sure did take a turn for the better. And we began to put Christ first in our life. Now, there were struggles, and we still had to deal with some issues. But I was determined that I was going to be the man of God, the husband that God had called me to be. And so we began to live for the Lord. So that's how I came to know the Lord. Now, again, your story is going to be different. And there may be some similarities, but it's going to be different from mine. But make sure that you always include the gospel. You've got to have the gospel in your story, because without the gospel, your story is just your story. Okay? Now, we know what the gospel is. Look on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1, 3, and 4. Let's read it together. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preach to you, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scriptures. Now, you don't have to say, you know, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 3, and 4. You know, you just have to communicate that Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again. That's the gospel. And, you know, you may ask, well, why is it important to include the gospel? Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Here the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes." You see, it's wonderful what God has done in my life. And I can't imagine my life without Christ, but my story is not the gospel. And so we have to make sure that we include the gospel, because it only is the power of salvation to everyone who believes. Okay, for the next couple of minutes, write out how you receive Christ into your life. All right, stop where you are, look up at me. I want to tell you that after Christ came into my life, again, I wasn't perfect, but I wanted to be a man that honored and pleased God. And so we began to put the Lord first in everything in our life. But, you know, it was amazing. 1 year after I was saved, we went on a mission trip to upstate New York. And there we had a tent revival. We were doing backyard Bible club during the morning, tent revival at night. On the third night of that revival, my wife Janet accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. Now, she was like me. She'd been raised in church, thought she was saved at a young age, realized there wasn't anything to it. So she surrendered her life. Now, you're talking about our life changing now. When Janet came to know Christ, I mean, we made a commitment to tithing. We'd never done that before. My mom and dad tithe, but we made a commitment to tithing. And about that time, God began to bless us with children. We had two girls. And, it was difficult. We said, we're going to write that check first. And if we don't have money to buy diapers and formula, God's going to provide. And guess what? He did. We weren't rich by any stretch of the imagination. Matter of fact, we struggled, but God always provided. You know, after I think I was in my mid-30s, and I've been working for a company for 15 years and thought that I had had my retirement set. And God called me in the ministry. He called me to leave the company that I was working for, go into full-time vocational ministry. And so I enrolled in seminary, went 5 years to seminary. After that, quit the company after 19 years. I was 1 year away from getting 4 weeks vacation. I thought, man, that's what I'd worked for all these years. But God called me, and I left, and, you know, I didn't look back. I never regretted that. And the Lord has given me many opportunities. But, you know, one thing I can say now, I don't have any doubt that if I were to die tonight, I know that I would go immediately in the Lord's presence and would be with Him for all eternity. And I am so thankful for that. So that's my story since I came to know Christ as my Savior. Now on page 3, write out your life since Jesus came in. All right, stop right there. Now, of course, you can take that home with you. If you didn't finish up tonight, take it home with you, finish it up. But again, you want to be able to share that in a 3 to 5 minute window, which is the normal time that we will have to share our story in the gospel. All right, look on page 3. There you see openings to share your testimony. Now, here's some suggestions to help you get started. Number one, listen for people sharing experiences like yours. Listen for people sharing experiences like yours. For example, you may hear someone talking about divorce, about aging parents, about rebellious children, about losing a job, all these kind of things, and they can serve as kind of like a segue for you if you've had similar experiences. Now, of course, where we are right now, if I hear someone talking about the challenge of aging parents, I say, I know exactly what you're talking about. I am right there. And, you know, use that to say, you know, if I didn't have Christ in my life, I can't imagine how difficult and almost impossible this would be. He's with me all the time. And so that gives you an opening to be able to share. So all these things, and you're listening to hear some of these topics and how you might be able to enter them. Listen, number two, listen for people sharing emotions like yours. Emotions like yours, depression, fear, loneliness, insecurity, hurt, anger, any of these things. And you know, it's amazing you hear people talking about those things, and it's amazing what people will say about themselves. You know, I talked about in my life before I came to know Christ, I was very insecure. I felt like I couldn't please my dad, and I was always striving to do that, but knowing that I wanted, and it created in me an insecurity. And if I meet somebody that has that, I said, you know, I know exactly what that felt like. And, you know, if it hadn't been for me coming to know Christ, realizing that He died on the cross for my sins, and He was buried, and He was raised on the third day, and I accepted His payment for my sins and became a born-again follower of Christ, and I don't know where I would be today. So there's just be listening for people expressing those feelings, those emotions that they're going through. Number two, look for opportunities in current events. Look for opportunities in current events. Terrorism, natural disasters, corruption, tragedies. I got to share this with you. On one of my trips to Peru, one in which I went by myself, I'm old-fashioned, I guess. I mean, some of y'all got your readers and all that kind of stuff, your little computers. I like the hard I like the hard books. I like to be able to sit down with one of these and just read. Well, on one of my trips to Peru, when I went over there by myself to meet Raul, I had just bought this book written by Dr. David Jeremiah, and it's entitled "People Are Asking, Is This the End?" Anybody read this? Great, great book. I highly recommend it. No one has read this? Oh, my goodness. It's great. Warren has. Okay. All right. I just advise you. Dr. Jeremiah is just so insightful. He knows Scripture. He's able to take it and apply it. But anyway, I was sitting there, sat down on the plane, and of course, you never know who's going to sit by you, you know. And I always pray. Well, not always. If I'm real tired, I sometimes selfishly pray, Lord, just don't put anybody next to me. I just want to relax for these 6.5 hours. But most of the time I pray, Lord, put somebody in my path that I can share with them. So there was a woman sitting down beside me, and I already had my book out when she got on the plane, and I greeted her. We spoke, you know, just our niceties. And so she sat down, got buckled in. And so I pulled this out and started reading it. And I was so engrossed in the book, I didn't hear her to start with, but she said, "Is it?" I thought, "Is she talking to me?" And she said, and I looked up and she said, "Is it?" And I said, "Is it?" She said, "Is it the end?" And I said, "Well, as a matter of fact," and I shared with her about the book, but it gave me an opportunity to share about my personal testimony. So, you know, it's just in all of these things. He's talking about world events, you know, terrorism, everything going on in the world. And, you know, people are talking about that everywhere now. And, you know, you might say, "Well, listen, I don't want to be an eavesdropper. I don't want to always be listening to conversations of other people." Listen, if you're an Alabama fan and you hear somebody talking about Alabama football, you just going to sit there and not say a word? No. You know you're going to jump in there. Why not? Just, you know, we're not eavesdropping, but people talk loud, and sometimes they're talking. Did you know that sometimes people talk loud in order for you to hear them, so that they might have someone to talk to, someone to share with them? So just be open to the fact that people are discussing things, and you might be able to come in there and share your personal testimony about what God has done in your life, okay? So listen for emotions, listen for shared experiences, for current events. And then number four, make leading statements. This is what I mean by that. Have you ever walked out on a beautiful morning and said, "Oh, what a beautiful day this is"? How many's ever said that? Okay. Don't ever say that again. Don't ever say it again. Say, "Oh, what a beautiful day God has made." Right? Hadn't He made it? Sure He has. A beautiful day that God has created. And it's amazing how that will give you opportunities. People will say, "Well, do you really believe God made this day?" Well, certainly I do. And have an opportunity to share. You know, people will ask me all the time, and I'm sure, you know, people are always saying, sometimes, most of the time, they don't really want to know, but they'll say, "What? How are you doing? How are you doing?" And here's what I say, and I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm not trying to impress people. But they'll say, "How are you doing?" And I'll say, "Better than I deserve." I had a woman the other day in a restaurant. I said that. She looked at me. She said, "I've never heard that before in my life. What do you mean by that?" I had the opportunity to share what I meant by that. I said, "Listen, I deserve death and hell and eternal separation from God. But I'm a child of Jesus Christ, of God, through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. I have the gift of eternal life." And I knew that was more than she wanted. But she gave me that opening. But that's a great way. Always, listen. What we're trying to do is create an environment where we're just always looking for opportunities to share. Isn't that pleasing to the Lord? Doesn't He want us to do that? He certainly does. And so just be aware of those things around us, okay? We're seeking to develop witnessing into a lifestyle where we desire to influence people every day to accept Jesus Christ into their life. And listen, if we start every day with this prayer, "Lord, place in my path today someone that I can share Jesus with." Do you think God will answer that prayer? He certainly will. You know what I found? If we've got to be in tune to the Holy Spirit, or we're going to miss those. We'll get involved in everything that's going on during the day, and one will come up, and all of a sudden it's gone, and after they're gone, I say, "Golly, I missed that one." But if we're in tune to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to His leading, we'll feel that tugging. And it's like the Holy Spirit said, that's the one you prayed for. That's him right there. Or that's her. So we've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and deeply desire to be sharing Christ with those around us. You know, the fact is, most people that we meet on a daily basis have not given one thought to where they're going to spend eternity. They're not worried about that. They're worried about how they're going to pay bills. They're worried about, you know, the problems they've got in their life. They're worried about losing a job. They're worried about everything else. They're not even thinking about where they're going to spend eternity. They're so consumed with the things of life with no thought of whether they're going to heaven or hell when they die. So we just want to be all ears looking for opportunities to make a connection so that we can share our story in the gospel with them. Remember that it's not up to you. The results are not up to you. To me, that is the most liberating truth that there is in all of Scripture. We can't save anyone, and we're not responsible for that. We just sow those seeds, and we just keep sharing Jesus. And all the people that we share with going to be saved? No. Are the majority going to be saved? No. But some will. Because God uses our witness to open them up to the truth, and the Holy Spirit begins to take that witness and begin to deal with their hearts. And before you know it, they realize that they have a need for Christ, that they're sinners, and that they're headed for an eternity without God, without Him. And so the Lord changes their lives. So just be open to that. You remember the story of the woman at the well? You know, Jesus went up to that well, and why did that woman come to the well? What did she have a need for? Water. She needed water. Okay? And so she came up to the well, and Jesus was sitting there, and did they have something in common? Yeah, he was thirsty. Can you give me a drink? You know, Jesus didn't say to that woman, listen, I know you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband, and you're just a rotten old sinner. He didn't say that. She had a need for water. He took that need, he connected there. And so he began to tell her about living water. And then he began to tell her about the Messiah. And he began to tell her about how she could have that living water that would well up in her into eternal life, and she'd never thirst again. And she said, I want that water. And see, that's how we connect. Things that we have in common with people around us, and we can use those as a segue to begin to deal with spiritual issues in their life. Now, let me give you three tips on witnessing. Look on page 4 of your session notes. Number 1, it is different sharing your testimony in one-time meetings than with regular friends and acquaintances. You know, if I'm on that plane and I sense that God has set someone beside me that I need to share the gospel with, I'm going to give them the full load, because chances are I'll never see that person again, right? I believe that's a divine appointment, and God has given me that opportunity. And listen, that's a 6.5-hour flight. If we're going to Ukraine, that's 9 hours. That's a long time. I mean, you can tell your story and everybody else that you know in that period of time. But you're focusing on Jesus and what Jesus has done. And so if I sense that I'll never see this person again, I'm going to give them the whole load. I'm going to tell them everything and hope that God can use that. But if it's someone that you work with, someone that you see on a daily basis, someone that you go to school with or whatever, you can take it one step at a time. Okay? Wasn't Jesus about building relationships? Jesus didn't just go out and he would heal somebody and tell them how they could receive eternal life and then forgot them. He was interested in that as a person and building relationships. And God wants us to do that. Now, you think about this. Seth, I'm going to use you for an example, brother. I know Seth, and I won't hurt his feelings. So Seth works works at Plant Hammond. And Seth, just say that you've got a friend there. Do you have any friends? Do you think anybody there would say that you're their friend? Okay, you have some friends there. All right. So Seth's got a friend that he works with at Plant Hammond, and they've worked together for how long? You been there now? 5 years. Okay, they worked together for 5 years. And give me a name for that friend. Blake. Okay, Blake. So Seth has worked with Blake for 5 years now. And, you know, Seth's a Christian. He believes, he's got Christ living within him, and he seeks to honor him and serve him. But in 5 years, and I'm not saying this is true, Seth, but just say, in 5 years, Seth has never shared Jesus with Blake. And so tomorrow, Seth goes in and he says to Blake, Blake, I need to apologize to you for something. Blake says, what are you talking about, Seth? What have you done? Well, I just really need to apologize. He said, you know, I'm a Christian, whether you know it or not. I'm a Christian, and, you know, I'm not talking about I just go to church. I'm talking about there was a time in my life when I realized that Christ died on the cross for my sins, and that he paid for my sins, and that he was buried and then rose again on the third day. And so I've surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And after we've been working together for 5 years, and I haven't shared with you one time, I'm just asking you to forgive me. Well, sure, Seth. Blake says, sure, Seth, I'll forgive you. He has a new beginning. He has a brand new start with Blake. And then maybe Tuesday or maybe next week, he and Blake may sit down in the break room together, and And Seth will have an opportunity to share. You know, Blake might say something. Again, listen to what they're talking about. Blake might say something. Seth said, you know, I can remember struggling with that too before I came to know Jesus. But Lord, when I came to know Christ, you know, it just changed everything. So you get a brand new start. Now, take another example. Suppose Seth has worked there for 5 years, but Seth hadn't really lived the Christian life before his coworkers. Okay? He said a little cuss word every once in a while. He told a dirty joke every once in a while, at least listen to their dirty jokes. And you know, the people around him, they don't know that he's a Christian. They if someone would say, do you know Seth Courage is a Christian? Why, goodness no, he's just like the rest of us. Well, Seth goes in tomorrow, and let's just say Blake again. He goes up and he says, you know, Blake, I really need you to forgive me for something. And Blake says, what you talking about, man? Throw out a cuss word. What are you talking about, Seth? I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you know, whether you believe it or not, and I know I hadn't lived it around you, but I'm a Christian. There's been a time in my life when I realized that I was a sinner, and I confessed my sin and accepted the fact that Christ died on the cross for my sin, was resurrected. And, you know, there was a time when I came to know Christ, and I know I haven't lived that around you, and I just need your forgiveness for that. Would you forgive me? And Blake might throw out another card. What? Seth, sure. You know, I ain't got anything to forgive you for. Well, you know, Seth said, we've been doing this thing at church, and there's this crazy guy that's telling us that he wants us to witness to 2 people a week and tell our story. And said, would you let me tell my story? Well, sure, you can tell your story to me all you want to. I'm not sure I'm going to listen, but go ahead and tell it. Well, again, he's got a new beginning. Okay? So we can do that. We can do that. And start and seek to build a relationship with Blake. And over time, you know, God may give Seth the opportunity to lead Blake to the Lord. So we're always looking at opportunities to share and look at those around us that has placed in our little circle of influence. All right? So just begin a little bit at a time. You know, it may take a while, but just be a continual witness to that person. You know, when I was first saved, I had a good friend that he and I played. We played softball together, and we got to be fairly close. And I was out in town one day and ran into somebody that knew this friend, and we began to talk a little bit. And I said, well, they mentioned this guy's name. And I said, oh, yeah, we go to church together. What? That guy goes to church? Well, yeah, he's a crip. Why, good grace alive. You ever heard him talk when he's away from church? I mean, there's nothing that destroys a testimony more than that. You know, I had another guy tell me one time that when he first became a Christian, he said it was hard for him to stop cussing. He said he just, you know, it would just come out. And so he was at a retreat after he'd been a Christian about 3 months. So they went to a retreat and said he began to share with a person. They divided up into small groups, and they were going to share their hearts. And he began to share, and he said, you know, I just need y'all to pray for me. He said, I just don't know what I did. He said, you know, I just get around the guys and work and everything. He said, I just throw out a cuss word there and said, I just shouldn't be doing that. And the guy looked at him and said, how about doing me a favor? He said, what's that? He said, please don't tell anybody you're a Christian. He said, you're talking about a sobering thought now. Don't let anybody know you're a Christian. If you're going to cuss like that, and act like that, don't let anybody know you're a Christian. We need to be careful about those that God places around us, that we do not only talk the talk, but we walk the walk as well. All right. So we're working on developing a lifestyle of witness. And remember, once you have that new beginning with your acquaintances, ask the Lord daily for strength to live it before them. I want to share a verse with you from Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. I don't think Tom has this one, but I've got it in the New Living Translation. Listen to this. It says, live wisely among those who are not Christians and make the most of every opportunity. Let me read that again. Live wisely among those who are not Christians and make the most of every opportunity. That's Colossians 4, 5. All right, tip number 2, expect mixed results. Expect mixed results. You know, the Apostle Paul was preaching in Athens. You know, he's there at the Areopagus, and he was preaching, and so he shared the gospel. And notice with me in Acts chapter 17, verses 32 through 34. It says, now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, listen to this, some mocked, But others said, we will hear you again about this. So Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him and believed. Paul experienced mixed results. Some mocked. Some says, I want to hear about this later. And others believe. Expect mixed results. I wish that every person that I'd ever shared the gospel with had come to know Christ. But that hasn't been true. A majority of those that I've shared with probably have not. But some have. But it wasn't me. And the fact that they didn't, did not mean that I was a failure. Did you get that? The fact that someone does not accept Christ doesn't mean that you failed. Because the results are not up to you and not up to me. All right. Tip number three. Remember, inviting people to church is good, but it is not going. Inviting people to church is good, but it is not going. Notice Matthew 28:19. Notice what it does not say. It does not say, go therefore and invite people to church. Does it? It says, go therefore and what? Make disciples. Make disciples. You know, most lost people, if you think about it, you invite lost people to church. Most lost people don't have any desire whatsoever to come to our church. Did you know that? You know what they're doing on Sunday? They're sleeping late. They're getting up and they're going to play golf and they're doing everything else. You know, it's just like a holiday to them. They have no desire. You're going to mess them up if you're going to invite them to church. They have no desire to do that. So don't expect inviting people to church. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should do that. But again, that's not going. Inviting to church is not going. We must be busy making Christ known to the lost world around us. I love that statement. We must be busy making Christ known to the lost world around us. It is okay to invite people to church, and we should, but that's not going. That's inviting. All right. Here's your assignment this week. Share your story with two more people. Now, if you still need to say, there's this crazy guy at church that has challenged, told me that I've got to share my story, would you let me do that? If you still need to do that, feel free to do it. Okay? But I want you to share your story with two people this week. And again, if you didn't get finished with your testimony tonight, go home and work on it a little bit. Sharpen it a little bit more. Get it to where you can share it in 3 to 5 minutes. Pray daily. Can we agree to pray daily that God will place in our path those who need to hear the gospel? Those who will be open to our witness? Be open to what's going on around us? Be aware of things that are going on around us? And be willing as the Holy Spirit moves us to share our story and make sure that in our story is the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's pray together.